Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And today we're going to continue our conversation about the Catechism's teaching on the return of the Lord, on judgment, and then begin to take a look at other passages in the New Testament that honor and lift up the absolute uniqueness of the person of Jesus. Before I do, I want to just remind you, if you haven't had a chance to hear the programs this week, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. You can also I encourage you to browse the website. There's a lot of good, free, encouraging stuff there for you to help build you up in your walk in the Lord. There's TV shows, radio shows. There's all our products are there for you to purchase if you find themes that you think will help you. There's just a lot of good stuff there, but there's plenty of free stuff there as well that's there that I think will build you up, especially in this season of Advent. The simplest way to have access to all our shows, programs, and everything else, friends, is to download the Renewal Ministries app. Just go to the Apple App Store. You can just, on our webpage, I think you can click and download it there as well. Yesterday, I concluded with paragraph 682 from the Catechism, which is kind of the last statement the Church makes here in the Catechism regarding judgment, at least in this section, the return of the Lord and the final judgment. It says, When he comes at the end of time, that is Jesus, to judge the living and the dead, the glorious Christ will reveal the secret dispositions of hearts and will render to each man according to his works and according to his acceptance or refusal of grace. So, as I mentioned earlier in the week, it's of the utmost importance for us to realize that there's a meeting in your future and mine. There's an appointment that we have. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Remember reading yesterday, I read from Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul makes clear who Jesus is, that the Father has set Jesus at his right hand on the throne and given him all authority, power, judgment over the entire human race and over the entire cosmos. All authority belongs to Jesus, and his judgment's perfect. And he takes us seriously, the freedom that we're given. He takes us seriously, the vocation that God the Father, his Father, has given to us, the purpose for why we're living, and that is to know God the Father, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbors, ourselves, to walk in the freedom that he's given us, to choose the good, to choose what's right and what's true, what's good and what's beautiful, and to live in that. That's the purpose of our lives, to become saints. It's the simplest way to say it. To become saints, that's our destiny. And when we appear before the judgment seat of Jesus, it says here very clearly, what he will do is he'll reveal the secrets of the heart. That is, what's the heart? The seat of decision, the core of your being, from which you shape your life and your ultimate destiny. What did you do with the light that God has given to you? What did you do with the freedom that you have? Did you shape your life intentionally with passion? You know, as Scripture constantly exhorts, did you seek him? Did you hunger after him? Did you yield yourself to him? Did you obey him? Did you hear him when he said, look, if you want to be my follower, here's the ground rules. You got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and come after me. You no longer belong to yourself. As St. Paul said, he died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. What will be revealed on Judgment Day is, did you make that decision, as Paul is saying? He died that those who live, that is you, you're living, may live no longer for yourself, but live for him, who for your sake died and rose again. In an instant, the absolute truth about whether that happened in your life or not will be revealed. Getting into heaven is not an automatic. It requires love of God. It requires responding. It says here, accepting the grace of God. What is the grace of God? Grace means gift, God's gift of blessing. What is the grace? He's offering mercy for the forgiveness of sins and the offer of new life to become a new creation, to become a child of God through his son, Jesus. Through Jesus. And the question is, did you accept it or did you refuse it? And that requires a decision. Jesus knows you've been given freedom, and God the Father has made us responsible. We're going to be held responsible for how we use that freedom. Is it toward the ultimate purpose God has made us for? Or did we use that freedom essentially to build my own kingdom, to pursue my own idols? And one way to test it in this important season, friends, this season of Advent, which is a season of waiting and preparation and calling upon the Lord and looking to Him and examining our lives in relationship to it, how deep is the resistance within you to saying, giving a full yes to Jesus and coming under His Lordship with your life? How strong is that voice that all of us have felt at one time or another within, and the concern and anxiety, well, if I go all in, it's going to ruin my fun, my weekend, my prominence, all the things I want. And it reveals an inability to trust God and to understand. This is another dimension, like I was reading from John's Gospel yesterday where it said, John chapter 3, where Jesus assessed the human heart and He said that men prefer darkness to light because their deeds are evil, because our hearts are sin sick. We don't trust God. We think to give up our life as God's calling us to is a kind of slavery. It's going to lead to emptiness and boredom. We're going to miss all the fun that we can have on this earth, or all that we can accomplish and all the things that we want to do, which is a fundamental lie. You were literally made for Him. You will never be happy or satisfied. And the ultimate way for which you're made to feel satisfaction and joy in life, and the way Jesus talks about it, you will never come into it apart from Him. There's many things on this earth that can capture our attention, that can give us a charge, can make us feel good about what we're doing. There's not a problem with that if they're the right thing. I mean, if they're within the bounds of the moral vision of God for us, not a problem. But as good as the best is on this earth, it will never satisfy you. It can't. It just can't, because you're made for more. You're made for more. So again, paragraph 682, when He comes at the end of time to judge the living and the dead, the glorious Christ will reveal the secret disposition of hearts. So that day is coming. It's on. It's scheduled. It's going to happen in your life, where the secret disposition of your heart will be revealed for all eternity before the eternal God, and on the final judgment day, in front of every human being that ever lived, in front of all the angels. What is in your heart? Bill and Sue and John and Peter and Louise, whoever, what's in your heart? Mark and David, what is in your heart? The best thing now is to get serious about the condition of your heart right now and to align it with the Lord and the Lord's purpose and His promises and His will. That's what repentance is, turning toward Him. And He will render to us, to one degree or another, in one way or another, He'll render to each one of us according to the works that flowed from our hearts. Faith expressing itself through love. Faith is what that yes we give to Jesus, that abandoning ourselves in total trust to Him with the help of the Holy Spirit. This is not just willfulness. This is surrender and abiding to the presence of the Holy Spirit, who wants to change your heart. You give the Spirit permission. You say yes. You look to cooperate with the Spirit. You call upon the Spirit. You live in the Spirit and walk by the Spirit daily, and you're giving God permission, the Lord Jesus, who comes to disciple you and shape you into His life through the Holy Spirit. You give Him permission to turn your heart toward acts of love, toward love. Remember, I've said many times, trying to echo in the words of Jesus, essentially, the love language of heaven is obedience to God's commandments. It's not just emotion. In fact, emotion is totally secondary. We can have it. It's wonderful. God allows us to feel it at certain times. But at the end of the day, when Jesus hung on a cross and bled, stripped, naked, beaten, rejected, He probably wasn't having a real positive vibe at the moment. His emotions probably weren't like completely reinforcing, giving Him pleasant feelings in the moment. No, He felt abandonment. He felt the physical pain. He felt the horror of the darkness of sin pressing in against Him and the rage of the devil. It was all there. and it was all on him. But it was that act of love that saved the world. It's that act of love that makes it possible for us to be saved. Adam failed, and his progeny experienced the consequences. Jesus is the victor. Jesus gives to God what belongs to God. Jesus says yes, even at the point of death, to the will of the Father, even though it doesn't look good. Even though the circumstance is like, how can this possibly be God? This is horrific. This is totally unjust. He trusted the Father, and the trust that was in his heart from this earth, a human being, Jesus Christ, the God-man, Mary's son, gave to God what belongs to God. He did justice to God, and it was love, and it was love. And that's what the Holy Spirit poured into your heart and mine. Paul tells us God poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, so that we can love and follow in the footsteps of Jesus. So this whole section of the catechism is crucial for us to lay hold of. I've just been reading essentially five small paragraphs this week. It's packed. It's important. We have to take it into our hearts, and we have to remember, ultimately, friends, who Jesus is. And I hope when we do, the fear of God will come into us. That's really healthy fear. It's pure. It's clean. It's powerful. And it's the foundation of courage. And man, we need courage in this day. So let me read a couple of the passages to close off today's program. Tomorrow we'll get after John chapter 5. This is from Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and following. It's entitled The Supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Created through Jesus, through Christ, and for him. So everything in this world is for him. The Father knows it. This is the Father's intention. That includes your life. You were made for Jesus. You were made for Christ, the Father's beloved Son. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is the one who's holding the cosmos together, and he's helping you hold it together in your own life. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in him everything might be preeminent. Is he preeminent in your life? Is there any idol? Is there anything, including your own ego, is there anything that's of first importance in your life before Jesus, before Christ? You'll have to bring that idol down in this world, or it'll drag you into hell when you die. That in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he's now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, St. Paul said. So I hope that word lays hold of your heart today. It sure is grabbing mine again. And Lord, we ask you to make it come alive and renew us and strengthen us in this day. God bless you. I hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.